A trade truce between the U.S. and the EU? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. The EU and the U.S. are calling it a new phase in their relationship. President Trump and EU Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker concluded their meeting with a not-so-short list of things the two sides want to work on. The biggie was zeroing out tariffs and other barriers to trade and subsidies on non-auto industrial goods. More on that in a minute. The two sides also want to increase trade in services and in specific products like soybeans and liquefied natural gas. They want to team up to reform the World Trade Organization and fight unfair trade practices. Here to discuss all this is Chad Bown, senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Hey, Chad.
Hi, Tracy.
So how are you thinking about, how would you characterize the outcome of these talks?
I think this is the first positive sign on trade and trade agreements that we've seen coming out of the Trump administration. The fact that there wasn't an announcement of new tariffs, the fact that they actually talked about cooperation, potentially getting to a big trade deal between the United States and the European Union. I think it's still early days, but positive signs.
Yeah, and one of the things that countries, both sides, expressed interest in is zeroing out tariffs and other barriers and some subsidies. How feasible do you think that's going to be?
I think it'll be relatively straightforward for the two sides to be able to get to zero tariffs on the physical goods. What's going to be unclear is whether it's as easy to get to the harder issues in these trade negotiations. So getting at issues of subsidies just between two countries seems to be really, really hard, especially because when you change subsidies, that affects not just the United States and EU, but all the other players out there in the world also. But also, a lot of the barriers to trade between the U.S. and Europe at the moment really aren't in tariffs. We have relatively low tariffs toward each other. So the big question is, how do you get rid of these other non-tariff barriers?
And what about the steel and aluminum tariffs that the EU would very much like lifted and the auto tariffs the White House is considering that the EU opposes? Did the two sides make any progress there?
They will hold off on further tariffs while they're negotiating. It sounds like if the Trump administration is going to go ahead and put automobile tariffs on, as they're currently contemplating, that that might provide an exemption for the European Union exporters. So the BMWs, the Mercedes of the world.
Chad Bown, senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Facebook had a rough one yesterday. The company's stock fell as much as 24% in post-market trading after it reported slower than expected revenue growth in the second quarter. This comes as Facebook tries to win back public trust after that Cambridge Analytica scandal this spring and continued criticism over its content moderation policies. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
The surprise in Facebook's earnings came from Europe, says Mark Mahaney, an analyst with RBC Capital Markets.
That's where the advertising revenue growth slowed the most.
It's also where the company actually lost users last quarter.
What's behind both of those is probably GDPR.
The General Data Protection Regulation is Europe's new data privacy law. Gil Luria at D.A. Davidson says it makes everything Facebook does in Europe more expensive.
How Facebook collects information, how it stores it, how it transmits it, where it can sell it, those are very significant new costs.
And not the only new costs. Michael Pachter at Wedbush Securities says the company is spending big in the U.S. to win back users' trust.
All these billions of dollars they're spending on security and privacy are a direct result of the whammy of Cambridge Analytica and fake news.
Facebook plans to increase spending by 50% this year, with much of that going towards cleaning up the platform. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
My name is Jennifer Slabaugh from Columbus, Indiana. Make Me Smart and Marketplace are two of my favorite shows, both pushing me to think outside of my normal boundaries and making issues important to me that I wouldn't have considered before. I became a Marketplace investor because I feel it's important to vote with your dollar for media that makes a difference in the world. To join me as a Marketplace investor, donate today in whatever amount works for you at marketplace.org.
Tomorrow, the Commerce Department will tell us how fast the economy grew in the second quarter of the year. Expectations are that GDP grew pretty darn fast, maybe even double the growth of the first quarter. Chris Farrell, senior economics contributor at Marketplace, is here to discuss. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, Tracy.
We've heard that some companies may be rushing to place orders, trying to get goods into the country before any additional tariffs take effect, and that might be contributing to higher GDP numbers this quarter. What else are you looking for in these numbers?
So I think there's going to be an enormous focus on business investment. That's when you upgrade your factory line, you buy those new computers for the office, and it leads to future productivity growth and hopefully higher wages. So a lot of the focus tomorrow is going to be on business investment. And business investment, it's been doing okay. It's been growing along with the economic expansion. But the problem is, we're just not seeing that boom, which is like people would really like to see in those numbers.
So no boom in investment, but that's exactly what we were expecting after Congress lowered the corporate tax rate at the end of last year. What gives?
The cuts were sold. Look, you're going to cut the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%. Balance sheets are healthy. Companies got a lot of borrowing capacity. So this is going to lead to the investment boom that we've been really wanting. And it hasn't materialized. Yes, business is investing. There is some growth there. But what companies are doing is investing in stock buybacks, not in research and development and those sort of big, bold bets that hopefully, you know, they're speculative bets, but hopefully pay off in future economic growth.
In the first part of the year, we have high expectations for GDP growth. If we turn to the second half of the year, what happens? Or do we start to see trade tensions weighing a little bit heavier?
Corporate earnings look good, but these tariffs, these trade tensions are starting to bite. So if you're management, are you really going to be taking some big bets that we would like to see for future economic growth? That's why economists are going to be focusing so much in that GDP number on what does it tell us about the future of business investment. And hopefully the surprise is on the upside.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Chris Farrell, senior economics contributor at Marketplace.
Thanks a lot.
And in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.